Yeah, I just want to expand a little bit on some of the, try to finish off the Hagdama topic. I was running a little bit towards the end the last time, so I just want to expand on a few points in the in the Rambam and some of the Makoros that the Rambam is based on. We were just having a little bit of a discussion, right? Adam and Svi and myself. So just to clarify a couple of points on that, and then just to finish up a few other issues. So the point I was trying to make in the Rambam was that the again, we start off with the fact that the Rambam mentions the word asur in the context of Niske Mamon only in Perek Hei and not in Perek Aleph, which would be more typical expectation. That when the Rambam quotes in Sefer Mitzvot and in the Koteret some of the Niske Mamons, right, he doesn't use the expression Isur. Again, I do think it's critical that he quotes them, and he means, in my opinion, I said this already, not like the Sefer Chinuch, that it's a mitzvah on Bezdin. I think he has more in mind. He has in mind that the categories themselves are significant, conceptually and legally significant. But at the end of the day, he seems to mostly be refraining from emphasizing or accentuating the tzad, ha'iser, of this particular din, until we get to Perek Hei. Similarly, although this could explain differently, in the Gemara Daf Samech Amud Beis, where the Gemara does use the expression Asur L'Hatzil B'Mamono Shalcha Atzma B'Mamono Shalchaveiro, that's a language of the Gemara.
The Rambam in Sefer Mitzvot does seem to have a parallel rationale to the Sefer Chinuch. He says that it is going directly from Beis Din. He said Sivanu Ladun B'Din Habor.
Yeah. So, but I'm saying that's fine. That the Rambam has very, very often. The Chinuch says that the goes further and says that that if you that the violation of the mitzvah, the people who violates the mitzvah, it's Bezdin who violates the right, Ladun, that doesn't mean right. So the Rambam uses that language often. It doesn't mean it's a din in Bezdin. It just means the halacha, has, that's what I mean by it being a halachically significant category. I'm saying, the Klal Yisrael, or it's important to know that the halacha, insists that there be, bor, there be h, and there be right. That's what I'm saying. But what the chinuch got it from the Ram. I think I mentioned this the other day. But he typically sometimes takes it further. So for him, the mitzvah is a mitzvah on Beis Din, and the violation of not, let's say, what it means is if Beis Din, doesn't implement their duty, so then Beis Din violates, an Isur. The Rambam doesn't say that. The word ladun in the Rambam is often just a way of the Rambam saying this category, which is binding in halacha, is a mitzvah. Now, what we mean by that mitzvah, what I'm trying to suggest is that often the Rambam doesn't mean, Beis Din violates, although they might also violate, that could be a technical point. What he really means to say is that when the Rambam counts something in the Taryag Mitzvah, this is part of a much bigger topic, it's his way of saying that the division, right, is important, that this particular prat represents, right, a certain category. Now, this happens to be ladun. You're supposed to be dan. The Rambam saying you're dan esh and you're dan bor, as opposed to saying you're dan, let's say, niske mamon, or dan all of nizikin. So the Rambam is telling you that there's something distinctive about these groups, whereas for the chinuch, it's just, emphasis on Beis Din as a... But that, actually, it's not that the chinuch is a coincidence. The chinuch, the book Sefer HaChinuch, is working off of the Rambam, off of the Rambam and the Ramban, and the Ramban's critique of Sefer Mitzvot. However, what often happens is that the Chinuch takes the Rambam in a certain way. And this is very typical of the Chinuch expanding the Rambam. In my opinion, that expansion is not muchrach, given the rest of the Rambam.
Rambam also chose to put it in context of specific DNA based, and like the next mitzvah is dafka talking about pnat, like domedin aganim shemiknosos.
Right, that's part of mishpatim, and I think that that's also true.
That's
again,
dafka on bezin, meaning to give knas that has
only again, I don't think that the Rambam's. I also don't think that the Rambam there means that the Isra Aseh, or whatever it is, or the Lav, is on Bezdin. He's saying, again, I would say the same thing. The Rambam, whenever he counts kosher mishpat categories, is telling you this is a separate independent category, and that the details reflect a certain value. And we'll get to it. We talk about Geneva and Zayla.
Klal Yisrael would be over. Someone other than Bezdin might be over if someone doesn't have a knas.
It could be that Bezdin is over. It could be that Klal Yisrael is over. But what the Rambam is really... I mean, again, the Ganef and the Gazlan are over in the case of Geneva and Gezeila and Oshik and Chavala and Rotzeach. But the Ladun part, it's hard to know if anybody specific is over or not. That might be beside the point. It's possible that no one specifically is over. But what the Rambam is trying to say is these are categories that are independent. They're not under one larger rubric, which is how some people have it. We talked a little bit about the Tashbates and the Urayim and so on. And specifying is important. That's what the Rambam is trying to get at. The Chinuch always takes it in a much more literal way. Yeah?
Just add a little bit to this. The Sefer HaBatim, when he quotes the mitzvah, it seems to be what his understanding of the Rambam is.
Harchakas.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so I'm going to get that in a second.
Clearly not like a chiyuv on a base day, interesting.
Right. Well, that comes more closer to what we've been saying.
Exactly.
In Harchakas Hazakin, in the Kamoi, as the Sefer Abatim. And we'll get to that in just a second. Okay. So anyway, so the Rambam omits, the Rambam has Sefer Mitzos, but he has Ladun, he has a count, he doesn't have exactly, as I say, in the more expanded way that the Chinuch does, as Natan's pointing out, in the Sefer Abatim, he thinks that harchokas nezikin is the mechayiv in the Rambam, which I think works out very nicely for our hakdama hayman deboilim have a chasida, which are cases of harchokas nezikin. It also works better with lo yishmerenu, but I think that is closer to the Rambam's idea. But in any case, the Rambam's citation of this much later, and again his. When it comes to matzil atzma b'mamun chavero, which the Gemara says asur, Balitosis changed it to chayiv, and the Rambam also, in if somebody has it open, in Hilchos Chovel Perek Yud Beis Halacha Beis, anybody have that open? Yeah, some of the Rambam's photocopied here. The Rambam also changed it to chayiv instead of asur. Now that could be for two reasons. One is the reason that we're suggesting, which is that the Rambam is a little bit shy. What did I say? Koval Yud Beis. Beis. Is there somebody else? I have it here. Always easy to go right to the source, right? When he quotes that halacha, the Rambam changes it to... Yeah, so that could be for one of two reasons. It could be because he's just very uncomfortable with what some of the other Rishonim had to try to deal with in Rashi, and that is the notion that you can't be matzil, that it's usur lahatzil atzmo b'mamon chavero. After all, it isn't one of the gimel averos of Yarig Val Yavor, so it's very difficult. That's an issue in its own right, which I hope to get back to at some point, but not right now. So basically, instead of asur, they change it to chayiv. The question is, when you're matzil atzvo b'mamon chaver, which you're allowed to do, right? Is that also a ptur? Does that create a ptur tashlumin? Or since it's dollars and cents, and there's somebody who suffers a hefsid, a mamon in the process, So, you know, as much as you're allowed to do it, you still have to pay the consequence. That could be one reason. It also could be, once again, that the Rambam is trying to downplay the Tzad HaIsur in this particular issue because it's irrelevant to this question. And that's what I'm suggesting, really, is that while the Rambam believes that it's Asur Lahazik Mamon Chavero, and even Iske Mamon, right, that he is abstaining from emphasizing that in most cases because in most cases it's not indicated. In other words, the Chiyuv Tashlumin is a quid pro quo. In addition, there's an element of Iser, but the quid pro quo explains 80%, I'm making up the number, of Dine Nezikin. And therefore, you know, it's not in the forefront of the Mechayiv of Mazik. So why then does he have it in Perakeh? So the answer is, and this is what I was trying to say the other day, but I just want to expand a little bit more, is that the Rambam in Perakeh, Halakha Aleph, the Sugya Daf Chav Gimel, is interpreting the Gemara along the lines of Rav Haigon, and different from that of Bali Tosis and the Ravid. That Gemara is a very challenging Gemara. It's a Gemara which seems to allow what I was calling a preemptive strike. It allows you to take extraordinary steps to defend your property, to for you to take the initiative, right, to you know, to destroy, you know, or to in order to preclude an attack on your property to destroy his would-be mazik. The assumption of that case is that there's a chalos omeid lahazik, we'll say it that way, and that justifies you know, neutralizing the mazik. And what I'm suggesting is that a quid pro quo mentality of nezek makes, I wouldn't say impossible, makes very unlikely both of those components, right? If all you care about in nezek, you know, is people's bank accounts, you know, and a quid pro quo, you know, a tit for tat, you know, kind of a mentality, then there's no such thing as a chalos omeid lahazik. You know, when somebody's mazik you, then they're mazik you. But the fact that it's omeid lahazik, as a league, what I mean by chalos is as a legal category, something that, you know, you can, you know, point to, you know, and then discuss whether or not you can neutralize, doesn't exist. The idea that you could be the aggressor, in other words, you could take kumbase action, right, to prevent being the victim, right, is not a quid pro quo notion. And therefore, what I'm suggesting is that it's here where the Rambam needs to emphasize the concept of Isa. What the Rambam's trying to tell us is the fact that he has no right to be mazik you, that means that his animal, which is already exhibiting behavior that threatens you, creates a shame mazik, right? And in turn justifies you being not the aggressor, but your aggression being perceived as an act of defense. That switch, you know, between aggression and defense, you know, is not called for when you look at the conduct here in a piecemeal or very narrow kind of way. Because the animal hasn't done anything yet except exhibited a pattern that makes it clear to any reasonable person that he will, but he hasn't yet, it's in the future, right? And the only person who's actually taking initiative is you, right? So you're not defensive anymore, you're offensive. What I was doing is I was comparing that to the Rambam's view of Poshei HaKemazik. Zvi correctly pointed out that it's not a perfect analogy. I didn't mean it as a perfect analogy. In the case of Poshei HaKemazik, everything is on one side. You have a person who is a shomer, right? He has certain obligations. And the question is how to assess them. The other side doesn't exist. We're not talking about the balance, you know, of rights between two parties. we're talking about whether or not we should expand, you know, our legal definition, you know, beyond the Ner. That's where the common denominator, you know, comes in. So what happens in Poshea Kemazik, according to the Rambam, is that you have a legal description, once again, which seems to expand beyond, you know, the normal definition or the normal canons of description. So typically, a poshea is a sheval tasa. That's the ha'ara of some of the poskim in Shulchan Aruch, particularly the Nesivos. This looks like it should be grama, which is potter. How, you know, does it become mazik? It's not mazik according to the canons or standards of Hilchos Mazik. The Ravid's question, he just highlights it further, because the Ravid says, if this really was mazik, then how come there's a p'tur of Baal Avimo in the case of a Shomer Chinam? And the Gemara in HaShoel says clearly, and everybody paskins, including the Rambam, that there is a p'tur of Baal Avimo in the case of Shomer Chinam, legabe mazik. We don't find that if somebody is mazik mamon chabera, right, but Baal Avimo, that there'll be a p'tur. So clearly it isn't mazik. So the answer to both questions is I think, in this perspective. So just narrowly speaking, the answer to the Baal Avimo question, which is the Ravid's question, can be found in the Shach, in Chosha Mishpat, and much later, Reb Chaim, in his Shiurim in Volozhin, gave the same answer without quoting the Shach, and that is that the din of Baal Avimo is basically, what they answered was, that the din of Baal Avimo isn't a p'tur, it's a hafkos shem shomer. When there's Baal Avimo, you're not a shomer. And therefore, when there's Baal Avimo, you're not a shomer chinam. And if you're not a shomer chinam, then there's no din of poshea kemazik. Ah. But then the question is, well, why? Right? Not why does Baal Avimo mafkia the shem shomer? That's a Hashoel question, not for now. But why does it matter in the end of the day if the Rambam says poshea kemazik? And here, the Shach doesn't say this and Reb Chaim doesn't say this, but this is kind of what I'm saying, but I can't imagine that they would disagree. The point is that the only reason that poshea is kemazik is because he's a shomer. That's what I meant by the analogy. The background of having been mekabel achrayus and the other person relying upon you takes what would otherwise be a grumma, right, and a sheval tase, right, and it, because of the expectation, this omission becomes a commission. That's the argument I'm trying to make. So I'm trying to use that as a paradigm. There are other examples. I mentioned a small group of Rishonim who think that Edim who have Chiyuv Hagadas Edus are considered to be Chayiv, you know, also from a Mazik point of view. It's a minority view. It's not the view of the Rashi. It's not the view of the Rambam. It's not the view of the Ramban. But it is the view of the Tosas Rid. It is the view of the Rimel O'Neil and others. What does the Chiyuv Hagadas Edus have to do with whether silence? Let's say there was no Chiyuv Hagadas Edus, but you still could come to court and testify Yodei Edus L'Chabero and you'd win the case, right? Why does the Chiyuv Hagadah, which is a separate question, where whether there is and what conditions there is a Chiyuv Hagadah, why does that affect the din of Mazik? Right? That's the question. Or, again, another example is the example of Nizkei Shcheinim that I mentioned before. Harkakas Nizakin and Shcheinim. Or even just something like Hezek Re'iyah. What is Hezek Re'iyah? Right? So, Rishonim struggle with Hezek Re'iyah to the Vasra question. Right? Some say it's, you know, Ayin Hara. Right? Whatever that is, you know, it's a hard a concept to define in a logical way. Right, the Ramban in Bava Basra, in the beginning of Bava Basra, has a much more pragmatic explanation. Ramban says that Hezek Re'iyah limits your ability to use your own property, you know, because not having privacy limits you. Very fascinating Ramban. That is a mazik, though, or that's b'shev al tase? Right? Or even if you don't want to say Ramban, although I think Ramban you have to say it, you know, the Gemara says in Balbasar and Cheskas Abatim, you know, they quote the psukim, you know, Bilam's, you know, Matovu Alecha Yaakov Mishkinosecha Yisrael, you know, as the basis for Hezek Re'iyah. The point is that what the Rambam in particular, I think, you know, is trying to say about these issues is that where you put them matters. So for the Rambam, the dinim of Hezek Re'iyah and Archakas Nezakim of Shechenim is in Hilchos Shechenim. It's the same idea. Just like, you know, the din of Poshea Kimazik is a din in Hilchos Schiras. If you took it in isolation and you put it in Hilchos Niskei Mamon, right, Hezek Re'iyah wouldn't work and Poshea Kimazik wouldn't work. But given the nature of expectations, mutual obligations of Shechenim, and to add in the Gemara in Bava Basra, Ma Tovu Alecha Yaakov, the nature of Kedushas Yisrael and Tznius and privacy, given all of that, right, from a Shechenim point of view, this turns into, you know, a kind of mazik. Right. Bereft of or absent the context, it wouldn't be that way. So what I'm trying to use is that idea, and I think, you know, again, if you want another example, you know, Ribbis, we talked when we learned Kedushin a couple of years ago, the people were here, we talked about the interesting evidence, you know, about whether or not Ribbis is Gezel, right? So there's mixed evidence whether Ribbis is Gezel. But there certainly are some Rishonim who embrace that idea. The Ramban actually is ambivalent about it. Sometimes he embraces it, sometimes he doesn't. Is Ribbis really Gezel? Right, objectively, Ribbis isn't Gezel, right? If you take it out of its framework, because it's voluntary, right, and so on. So, how is Ribbis Gezel? And yet, there's much evidence that it is. And Gezel Akum is Asur, you know, but there's no Isur Ribbis. There may even be a Chiyuv to charge Ribbis, you know, if it isn't an Isra Seh, the debate between the Rambam against the Raibit and the Ramban. So how could it be? How could Ribbis ever be Gezel? But the answer is, again, given the Chiyuv of Tzedakah and the obligation, you know, to treat your fellow Jew as a family member, right? Given that background, Ribbis, according to some Rishonim, is a form of Gezel. A Mekabel Tzedakah has the right to demand that you give him Tzedakah, according to some Rishonim, as a Balchov, as like a Malva. Some Rishonim use that formulation. Like, how could that be? Tzedakah is a kindness, right? Tshuva Tfilo Tzedakah Ma'avir Nisroa HaGezeira. Right? Don't say that about paying your debts. You're supposed to pay your debts. That's a quid pro quo. Right? No one thinks, you know, that tzedakah is a typical balchov. Otherwise, you wouldn't get that kind of extra credit. Right? The answer is, again, given, you know, the expectations and given the relationship between different members of Klal Yisrael are supposed to cultivate with each other, there is an aspect of balchov. Meaning sometimes context and other halachic factors, right, figures into, it's not so common, I just gave you, you know, I have a little list, because I believe in this idea, but I think it's very typical of Kedushas Yisrael, particularly. I think it's one of the things that distinguishes us from you know, Bnei Noach, and even in the pure Choshen Mishpat realm. So the idea is, here too, that what's happening, again, it's not the same exact example, Tzvi is correct, because in these other cases, we're talking about a completely one-sided you know, structure. We're basically talking about taking something which the halacha seems to be inflating or mis, you know, representing, you know, as one thing, as a kumvase when it's really shev al tase, as something a gezel when it's really a chesed, you know, and so on and so forth. And we're trying to explain where that comes from. But the idea behind it, which is that now and then, mostly the halakha is very rigorous, and its definitions are very consistent. But the idea is that sometimes, right, there are factors that enter into redefining things, especially things that are on the border, right, and this kind of pushes them, you know, over the top. It's the interface, I like to call it, the interface between Yoredeya and Choshen Mishpat. Right? It takes things that Ribbis is dealt with in the Shulchan Aruch in Yoredeya. And it's dealt with in the Rambam in Hilchos Ma'alav Avolov. You know? It's a little bit of both. And the same is true with Tzedakah. And the same is true with some of these other issues. So the point is, getting back to our halacha, Niskei Mamon, What we're trying to say, so Tzvi and somebody else asked me at the end of last year also, maybe all the Rambam's trying to say is that you're being mafrish chavercha mi'isura. Right? You don't want him to do an isur. So I think that that's 50% correct and 50% not correct. Meaning, this is not the din of afrushe me'isura, which typically is for the sake of the would-be avarian, meaning you're saving him from himself by being mafrishim misur. That's not the way Perek Aleph, Perek Hei Hilchos Nizkei Mamon, Halacha Aleph, reads. It reads pretty clearly as justified self-defense, right, because he doesn't have the right, to get to the point. He hasn't the right to say to you, you know, wait till we get to court until something happens, because he's usur. So it's not that you are doing him a favor by being mafrisho mi'isur, and it has nothing to do with you. And Adam correctly points out, maybe a third party would be able to do it as well. There's no evidence in the Rambam. It's already an expansion in the Rambam under Paigon's Ha'ara. Because just remember, the Balei Tosis and the Ravid are of the opinion that Daf Chav Gimel applies only in a case where there's no Hefsid Mamon whatsoever, right? And like there's no Nafkamina. Even then, it's a little mechudash. But it's an animal that is omid l'shchita, you know, it's a question of timing. But the Rambam doesn't have that qualification, which is why the Ravid calls him out on it. What the Balei Tosis say explicitly, which is, you wouldn't say this, you know, about an animal which is not omid l'shchita. It doesn't seem to be true for a Vaigon, it doesn't seem to be true for the Rambam. So the point is, you're allowed, it's a justification based on the fact that he has no right to do this action and then to be judged after the fact. You have the right to prevent, to protect yourself, to launch a preemptive strike, the kumbase, and that's still considered to be self-defense because he, right, is obligated, right, to rein in, right, his own animals. So therefore, that's what I'm suggesting is what the Rambam is saying in Parakeet. Now, in the end of the Rambam has this line, which when Asher read it the other day, we didn't get a chance to expand on it, and that is the line about Grumma. Right? So what does the Rambam mean when he says, here in Parakeet, one second, yeah. Mipnesha Osulada Mahazik Lashale Mashi Hizik. Fine. Afilu Ligrom Hanezek Osur. Ah. So this is a discussion in the Nosekim. Afil Ligrom Hanezek Osur. Does the Rambam mean by that Grumma as opposed to Garmi, which is Pantur? Or does the Rambam mean by that even Garmi, let's say, which is Chai? So either way, it's very mechudash, right? If the Rambam means grama, which is patur, so the Rambam is saying, and by the way, there's an iser even when there's no chiyuv tashlumin, right? And this goes to our discussion of Rashi and the Ritva Miksav Yad, right, on Gittin Nun Gimel Amud Beis, and how you read the Gemara Bava Kama Daf Nun Vav, and the Gemara Bava Basar Daf Chav Gimel, when we talk about Grumma ben Nezakin being Asur, do we mean Asur Nedarbanan? Or do we mean, even if there's no Tashlumin, that it might be Asur Min HaTorah? But it'd be more intriguing and more mechudash in this Rambam, right, for the Rambam to be talking about a situation where it's chayiv. And to say, even where there is chayiv tashlumin, you should know, even begrama, it's aser. So that is why I wanted you to look at those two other Rambams, what the Rambam in Yudalad Zion. One second. Nataladina Lifne Yush, Omnaslak Zero, and so on. No, it's not Yudalad Zion.
In this game.
Oh, yeah, my name is Zayla. It is Yudalad Zion, right?
Yeah.
Plus my Cheskas Kashas with the pair of Ches. Okay. Echid Eivos Sa'or, Echid Eivos Eitzim, we'll discuss this anyway. Then in the continuation, you know, what's Chayiv? Believe Saruach, Shein Matsuya, Tamid, Arei Kulam Pturim, Liva, Believe Saruach, Chayiv, Sharei Hu Garam, V'chola Goreim Lahazik, Mishalim Nezik Shalim, and Ayafash of Nechasim, Kishar Kol Hamazikin. Oh. So is the Rambam in Perek Hey Halacha Aleph referring to that? And the same formulation we find, what is it, Zion and Chovel?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that the one I gave it in the Mar Makomos?
Yeah.
Okay, so Zion is Kol Agore Mahazik Momen Chavero, Chayv L'Shalom Nezik Shalom and Yafish Ben Chasav, same language, Kishar Mazikin, Alpha Bisheino. Hu hanezek. One sec. Afapi she'eino. Sorry. Hamazik. Right? Ze hanezek atzmo. Bachrona. Hold. Hu goreim harishon chayev. Then he has ketzad and so on. The rabbi disagrees. Again, hopefully we'll discuss grama garmi, hezek sheni nikar, davar gor in the mamon. We'll discuss these categories quite extensively when we get to it. So if the Rambam is referring to that, so again, the afalpi is particularly interesting, right? The Rambam wants you to know that there's an afalpi here. Again, it's of course an afalpi if he's saying that when there's a p'tur tashlumin, there's an iser, right? But as we already noted, that's a kind of a double-edged sword afalpi. It's more mechudash because you're actually patur, right? It's the opposite direction a little bit of the Rashi in Gittin. On the other hand, there's a certain compelling logic to it, that is that the Isser in some respects plays a greater role, right, when there is no Chiyuv Tashlumin, right, because it's not quid pro quo. You're walking away from, but at least you should know that you also. If it refers to the case of Grama, so again, there is Chiyuv Tashlumin. It works even a little bit better, right? And what he's telling you is that the Iser, in a way, you know, is making up for, or is expanding, right, the lack of Mazik B'Yadayim, right? Which is what he refers to both in Niske Mamon and in Chova. Either way, when you put it all together, this Rambam, I think, makes a very strong case for a certain perspective on the role of the Isser. This also works nicely with the other Rambams in question, which I want to just elaborate a little more. Yeah?
Just to Rebbe's point before, the Ravushi on Dabdal does include Hoshek and Mazik on his list, and Rav over there says that that's actually included on our Mishnah. So he does seem to think that Hoshek and Mazik is actually part of the Niske Mamon.
No. He has Dalad Shomer.
It's the Shomer, and then that seems to be...
Right, that's an expanded list, and it's not Bidin Poshek. I mean, most Rishonim don't hold Poshek Mazik, right?
Rashi seems to say, at least Rashi on the spot says...
No, it refers to Poshek. Right. When you say the Dalad Shomrim are on the list of Mazik, and in the case of Shomer Chinam, that means Pshia, that's not the same as what the Rambam says, when the Rambam says Poshe has Kemazik. I mean, the Rambam says Poshe has Kemazik not as a melitza to explain, you know, why is it on a list. The Rambam says it with a nafkamina that other Rishonim disagree with, beginning with the Ravid, regarding Abadim, Shtaros, and Karkos. Rambam is saying the dinim of Shmira, right? The dinim of Chiyuvei Shmira apply differently to Shomer to the Pshia of Shomer Chinam than they do to the Gneva Vaveda of Shomer Sachar or the Onsim of Shoah. That's not what Rashi is talking about on Dav Daled. They were saying, we'll get to it, that all of the Shomrim are included in the list because we have an expanded notion of Mazik. Even then, how do you get there? So it's easy to say, well, at least Shomachina Mazik. Harder to say it about Gneva Vaveda, and harder even more, of course, to say about the own sin of a Shoah. So that is, you're right, it's on the list. I'm just saying it's a different, you know, that's a different ballpark, in a way. What the Rambam's saying is, outside, he's not saying it in Sefer Nezikin, he's not explaining a Balitza, he's explaining a Chiddush of his that doesn't appear in the Gemara anywhere, and which Rishonim disagree with, right, that this is a very legal category. That's a different, Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Osho we'll get to. Okay, so that's one. The other thing is, some of the issues that we discussed earlier, but I just want to be medayic a little bit more again in the language of the Ram. And that is the Ram Hey Tes, Hey Yud Aleph, and Hey Yud Gimel of Hilchos Chovel HaMazik. Okay? And again, the bigger point that I just want to make here is that the Rambam, of course, has the whole din of Adon Mazik, as we discussed, in Hilchos Chovel, which already is very significant. And in this context, even as he's distinguishing between Nezek, in this case it's Adama Mazik, right? And Chovel, it's interesting how much he, even as he distinguishes, is also equating them. Okay? So that is, again, if you look at the Mishnah, some of these dinim flow from the Mishnah, right? The Mishnah and Tzadi Beis in a Chovel, right, where the Mishnah says, Afa Pishu, no sein lo, right, ein nimchalo ad shi vakesh mimenu, shenema ata hashem esha sa'ish, etc. Now, what does that refer to? Only the requirement of pius, in other words. That refers to only chavala, or also nezek. We'll see in a moment. The Rambam thought that the pius part, at least, refers right only to chavala, but it's not clear in the Mishnah. It also refers to chavala. It's not clear that it only refers to chavala. Then uminayin shimlo mochalo shuach sarish and emar beispal Avram alokim vayipal lokim esavi melech fine haomer sameis eini. Katea es yadi, shaber es ragli, chayiv. Amanas liftor, chayiv. Kras ksusi, shaber es kadi, chayiv. Amanas liftor, potor. So here the Mishnah has a distinction between chavala and adama mazik. In the case of amanas, the Gemara explains later on that that's based on ein adam mochel al rashay Ebarim, right? The question is that a significant distinction or not? Is Mazik mostly like or mostly different than Chabalah? In the Mishnah, it's hard to know. But you could say that the reason that there is such a distinction is because it's Aser Lachbol, right? And let's say you were to take the conclusion, it's not Aser Lahazik. Right, so that would explain why, in the case of being mochel b'chavalah, doesn't work because it's against the halacha. It's a niser. It's not just mamon. In the case of nezek, it's mamon. Right? But we'll see in a moment that the Rambam, who could have interpreted that way, did not interpret that way. Right, the Rambam goes out of his way here to emphasize that there still is an overlap with Chabalah, that both of them are Yisurin. Okay, you'll see in a moment. And then, finally, the last line of the Mishnah, Asei chen leish ploni, amanas liftar, chayev, bein begufo, bein bimamono. That's the din where that's the third halacha in this Mishnah, right? The first halacha is pius. We're not sure what it refers, whether it refers to both or not. The second halacha is mechila, where we distinguish between chavala and mazik, but it's not clear what the reason is, right? Except enu demochal on bar sheibarit, but that could be interpreted in different ways. And then the third halacha is when you have a third party, right, who commands you, you know, go beat up Plony or go burn down Plony's field, right? That, you know, doesn't help you. Bein begufo, bein b'mamon. Fine. That's, Mishnah doesn't say anything, and the Gemara doesn't say anything about Ein Shliach Dvar Aveira, doesn't tell you anything about, you know, what the Mishaleach's role, the Pashtus, the Mishnah is explaining to you, that the Shliach, the person who does the action, in other words, is Chayiv. Okay? It's important always to look back at the Makoros, right, to assess the Rambam. What did the Rambam do, given what the Makoros are? So now let's just look very quickly. We already discussed these, but number one, the Rambam formulates Chavalah, I'm sorry, formulates Mazik as something which requires Kapara. That's not clear in the Gemara or the Mishnah. Correct? The Mamram here says, Perakei, Halacha, Tes, Eina Dome Mazik Chavero Begufo, Lemazik Mamona. You can already see what's going on here, right? I mean, the Mishnah doesn't have this hakdama.
Isn't it Pasha that all Averos Ben Adam L'Chaver also require Kapara?
Averos Ben Adam L'Chaver. Not necessarily Chiyuve Tashlumin, right?
Okay.
I mean, Gneva for sure, right. Gezela for sure, right. Require Kapara. But our whole point is that if you look at Parshas Mishpatim, it's a little hard to find a specific Avera, right? So, and that the case could be made that many aspects of the Zikin are just quid pro quo. So that's why, yeah, I'm not suggesting that it's a difference between Ben Adam. Let's assume Chavala for the moment. I mean, it's an open question. Maybe Chavala is only Ben Adam L'Chavera. Probably it also has a component of Ben Adam L'Mako. Right? But that's not the distinction I'm interested in. I'm saying, you know, the Zikin very specifically. So what the Rambam did here was, number one, he just magnified the Mishnah. See, this is the brilliance of the Rambam, right? In his Parshanut. So it starts off, Eina Dome Mazik Chavero Begufo Lemazik Mamono. Okay, this is going to be important. Right? Now, in theory, it could be important in one degree or in the other. Meaning the Rambam's going to create a bigger wedge between them, right? Or is saying it this way because they're so, you know, overlapping that it's important to distinguish between them. In my opinion, the Rambam here is doing both. Right? There's a certain dialectical intent in the Rambam's, you know, dramatizing of the Mishnah. He's saying, right, it's closer than you think, and therefore the differences are more important than you think. Because if they're not, they have nothing to do with each other, then, you know, it's pretty clear. The differences aren't technical, right? But the differences are within a family. Well, that would make a lot of sense, given that the Rambam, you know, has bucked the whole organization of the Mishnayos, you know, and logic for that matter, and put on a mamazik, you know, in Hilchos Chovel to begin with, right? And remember, Hilchos Chovel begins with discussion of the Yisur. So, Eina Dome Mazik Chaveru Begufo LeMazik Mamono puts them together. Right? The two Maziks are not the same. Right? The difference and the commonality. Shamazik Mamon Chaveru Kivin Shashile Mashu Chayev L'Shalem Niskaperlo. Again, that word, Niskaperlo, you know, implies that there's the need for Kapara. Right? Not so clear that there's a din of kapara. That's exactly what the Rambam does say in Perak Aleph, Hilchos Tshuva Halacha Aleph, where he mentions Mazik Chaver alongside Chovel as something which requires Tshuva. So the Rambam is totally lishitaso, but where does it come from? It's not so clear from these makoros that you require kapara, right? Aval chavo b'chaveru afa bishenason heidvarim ein miskaper lo afilu hikriv kol ele nevoyos ein miskaper belonim chalabono, right? Achi vake shminanechba v'yim cholo. And that's perfectly consistent with his omission in Perek Beis Hilchos Tshuva that we discussed last time, or the Halakha Tess, right? Where he says Kiyotze Bo. But again, it's more mechudash to say that you need Pius, if you need Pius in Mazik, than it is in Chovel. So that's not Kol Kiyotze Bo, right? And that's certainly the way the Nos HaKelem understood it. Again, the Lechem Mishnah's suggestion in Hilchos Chovel about being Mitzaer or being Nene, in my opinion, could be looked at narrowly, right? I mean, it sounds like he might mean them narrowly, in which case he's saying, you know, it's practically on the border. You practically need pius.
Wow.
Or mazik. In my opinion, a better way to say it is that the factors that the Lechem Mishnah brings up, namely mitzayer, chabero, and nene, mimenu, in the case of Geneva, right, aren't technical points, but they reflect the fact that, you know, there may be an Avera here in Mazik, but ain't a Doma, right? It's heavily weighted, you know, on the monetary side. Not like Kabbalah, which is heavily weighted on the Maisa Avera. You know, it's like a mini Ratzach, right? Or Geneva even, you know, with a Maisa Avera, the Tzura, you know, the invasion of his Bailus, you know, the attack against him. You know, it's not just the money. Okay, but either way, so the Rambam has that distinction, right? Im kvar os kvar. Again, the Mishnah does speak about pius in the Chovel, definitely in Chabalah, but it's not clear that the Mishnah, again, I read it a second ago, right? Afa bishu no sein lo einim chalo, and then he's going to speak about, you know, again, he doesn't say ein adome, like the Rambam. He just has the cases. It's easy to read the Mishnah as requiring pius also for mazik, just as one could have said that there's not even kapara in mazik. You could go, based on the evidence, you know, you could say it's equivalent, right? It's so different that there's not even a din of tshuva and kapara, there's just a din of tashlumin, or what the Rambam does, which is in between, introduced by Ein Adomeh, precisely for that reason. Similarly, okay, fine. Then look at halacha idal. The odesh hefresh bein niske gufo l'niske mamono. Okay. The odesh hefresh bein niske gufo l'niske mamono. Again, an emphasis of his own. That is she'omer l'chaver same enik kateyas yadi amnasha tapator. So here, right, the Rambam is again aligning, you know, the two much more than you would have thought. Right, one could have said, I mean, this is a distinction that is clear, unlike the previous one, in either direction. But you could have said, achad v'chalak chiluk. Right? Or you could have said a much more fundamental chiluk. The chad v'chalak one is to say that there's no Isur in Nezek. Therefore, of course, if the guy says, almanas shetipata, there's no problem. Because it's just, you know, pure mominous, one way or another. Whereas in the case of Chabala, there's an Iser, and you can't be Mochel or Matir, the Iser. That's not what the Rambam says. The Rambam seems to say that if you can be Mochel Mazik, in theory, you could be Mochel Chabala as well. The only thing is, biyadua, that the guy's always never serious. Even if he thinks he's serious, he's not serious. Right? In between that, you could have said something else, which I think is preferable to say. I don't know why the Rambam didn't want to say it. And that is what Well, there are two more things you could have said. One is that, like the previous Rambam, that the balance between the Tzad Iser and the Tzad Mamon is such, you know, that in one case, you know, it's nitan l'mechila because it's more mamon. If there's no mamon issue because of mechila, then there's no iser issue either. Whereas the iser in Kabbalah is independent of the mamon and maybe even drives some of the mamon. That one could have said, but the Rambam didn't say. Another thing that one could have said, which some farshim do say, is that when the Gemara says in Adam Mochel al Rashi Evarim, right? It doesn't mean that he's not serious. It means that he's not the Bailin. Right? He can't, you know, hurt himself either for that reason. The Ribbono Shel Olam is the Bailin over his body, not he. Important legal and philosophical issue, you know, in all times. Unless you want to say that's what it means, biyadua. Right. But it's hard to say that that's what it means. Either way, the point I'm trying to make it once again is that the Rambam's introduction, the Od Yesh Hefresh, again, maintains this dialectic of a comparison yet contrast, and that once again, he is walking a very fine line. In addition, when the Rambam says, V'im lo amar al menashe ata patur harei zechayiv, af al pi shehirshau lahashkis. That I think is also an important line, which doesn't appear in the Mishnah. Mishnah says this halacha, that is, if he doesn't say al menashe patur, but he allows him, he says, you can, you know, rip my garment. But he doesn't say, I'll poter you. So he's chayiv. The Rambam adds the words, af al pi shehirshau lahashkis. You could say, you know, why do you need those extra words? The answer is, maybe, because this might be a case where there's no Iser Lahazik. And therefore the Hava Mina would be, what happens if you take away the Iser, is there Tashlumin? Right? If typically there's an Iser Lahazik of some sort, which is being implied by, you know, some of these distinctions, right? Then, you know, then maybe when he's when there's no Iser, there's no Tashlumin. Right. So the Rambam, I think, is particularly sensitive to this, given the fact that he didn't, you know, bring in the Iser, you know. In Hilchos Nizkei Mamon. And given the fact that, you know, even Adam Amazik again is walking this fine line. So then, that's the coup de grace, is Halacha Yud Gimel, where the Rambam says, Omer lechaver shaber kelev shaploni amenasha tapator, the asa harizachayv l'shalem. So again, that's all the Mishnah really says. Right? It's the Rambam who adds, uki'ilu Omar lo same eno shalploni amanasha tapator. Right? What's the ki'ilu? If the point was simply, if the point he wanted to make was simply, it's ein shliach advarvei, or there's no bailus. Right? You don't need ki'ilu. Of course, I'm not a bailum on a third party's property. I can tell Reuven to burn down Shimon's barn. Right? Shimon barn is no more mine than Shimon's arm, you know, is mine, you know, to have someone else break. So the ki'ilu omarlo same eno shoploni amanasha tapator is again seemingly superfluous. But then it's followed by the afapi shahose hu chayev l'shalem. This is the chiddush of the Rambam. Hareza ha'omer lo shutfo ba'avon v'rashahu. I mean, here's where the Rambam wants to expand the din, you know, of Iser to the Mishaleach. Right, the Shliach, of course, isn't absolved you know. And for the very same reason, the mishaleach, right, also is asur. Even though the money is getting where it has to go. Sharei hichshil iver v'chizek idei over adeu. So that's a tricky part in the end. You have to look at the Rambam in Hilchos Rotzeach. I think Frankel in Rotzeach Yud Beis Gimel has a list of what language does the Rambam typically use when he talks about the Mechayiv, only the Mechayiv, of Lifnei V'Lasitei Nechshol. Does he use the expression that you're a Shutaf V'Aveira V'Avon, meaning the Mishaleach? He does, in the end here, say, Shari Hichshil Iver, V'Chizek Yidei Obri Aveira. It could be that if there was no Isser of Lifnei V'Lasitei Nechshol ever, then this wouldn't be even more than what it is. But I'm working with the assumption here that the Rambam, which is what some of the notes of Halim are assuming, that this isn't only Lifnei V'Lasitei Nechshol. So then the point is that the Rambam is saying that the Mishaleach and the Shliach are Rishoyim. Certainly if you hold the Lifnei V'Lasitei Nechshol is Klali, this doesn't make very much sense. The Rambam is saying that both of them are Rishoyim. Right? He's Shutfo Ba'avo. So the point is that this is very typical of the Ke'ilu and the formulation, and again the expansion from the Makoros and the Mishnah of the Gemara are all part of the same perspective of the Rambam. Okay? So that is the questions? Yeah.
How does that read the Mishnah talking about Adam and Mahdi?
The what?
How could it be that the Mishnah talking about also about Adam and Mahdi?
No, I'm just saying the Rambam, the Mishnah just says, Afabishu no same low.
Right?
Until this Mishnah.
Yeah.
Right. So, okay. That's why I say it's fine. I don't think it's difficult for the Rambam to say that this is only. But just because, let me say it this way. The end of the Mishnah here is about Mazik, also, right? And even assuming that this line goes on Chabalah and the Rambam and Mishnah only brings in Mazik later, all I'm saying is that once you also assume that there's a din of Kapara and Tshuva and Vidui, which is what the Rambam says, both in Nechus Chovel and in Nechus Tshuva, then the idea that what we said about Chovel, right, which we're now applying to Mazik without additional Makoros, should also extend to the Pia's part, is not difficult. No, a pasuk is quoted. It just says that. I mean, it's a broad pasuk. Ata hashev eisha sa'ish. I mean, that wasn't Chavala either. Yeah. So it's in general that you require, you know, whenever there is a way to neutralize, you know, the actual effect of the avera, that's always insufficient because you always require pius, you know, in addition. That's all it proves. On the contrary. So from all I'm saying is once you hold like the Rambam that there is kapara and there's tshuva, right? And like what the makoros for that are very flimsy.
Exactly. The pasuk is a proof to expand.
A proof to expand it.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I agree. Yeah. I'm just saying it doesn't bother me. I think the Rambam read the Mishnah like exactly the way you read it. Then they were, how come the Mishnah didn't say this at the end? Or something like that, you know, so it's obviously only the Chaval. But I think that the reason that the Rambam read it this way, you didn't have to read it this way, and especially is because Lishitaso, he, again, the whole thing, Yesh Lechalek and Od Yesh Lechalek, and then, again, he has three references, you know, every two halachos in the end of Perek, you know, Heyachos Chovel, all of which show that he is reading out of Mamazik in light of Chovel. So once that's the case, so maybe it bothered him more that, you know, the Mishnah seems to be going on Chavala, you know, and not Mazik. I'm not sure. But it didn't have to be that way. Just like it didn't have to be that there was Kapara and Tshuva at all, you know, frankly. So I hear. So you're saying, yeah, that's a broader Raya, so why not? Okay, but in the end of the day, all this fits in perfectly with the Rambam's choice of Adam HaMazik and Hilchos Chovel, and I think fits in nicely with even what he writes in this Kemamon, you know, as well. Okay, so that is Rambam. So it took a little longer than I wanted, but very important to get the Rambam. It's always important to get the Rambam straight, right? Oh. Yeah, good. Again, the Sefer Batim I was going to mention now, but Natan already mentioned it, which is that, again, whether that's a shot in the Rambam, I don't know, but the Sefer Batim understood that the Rambam's Sefer Mitzvos things have to do with Archokas Nezakin, and that works very nicely with Bava Kama Daf Lamed, and with, again, the comparison to Poshea Kamazik. Somebody mentioned to me, who mentioned to me the Dibros Moshe the other day? Nobody? Nobody was here? Oh, Ellie did. Oh, yeah. Ellie's not here. Yeah, Ellie mentioned to me that in the Dibros Moshe of Bava Kama, through Moshe Feinstein, he has, you know, there, he has very, very long pieces. I, you know, I'm not really familiar with the book. I know it's very, very, very long, very mechudash. But he told me, Eli, that he also quotes the Rambam in Hilchos Schirus, Perek Beis Halacha Gimel, Poshea Kemazik, when he tries to explain the Lo Yishmerenu Ba'alav as a possible source for Mazik, for the Isser Mazik. Meaning the idea that a Sheval Tasa could be a Kumbase. So that it's not exactly 100% what I'm saying, but it definitely seems to be going in that direction as well. So I'll take it, you know. So Ayin Sham, I don't know what the siman is. He has massive marachos all the time, I think. So, you know, something to look for and something which is certainly very interesting. Okay, so that is in terms of Shitas HaRambam. Regarding a number of these things. There is another point to make that we talked about a little bit, and that is in the Mishnah in Bava Kama, and Daf Tzadi, you also have another intriguing possibility. But the Mishnah here says that Hakovel be'atzmo apal pi she'eino rashai patur, right? Acherim shechov lubo chayavim. And then the Mishnah concludes: Akotzeitz nitiosav afabi she'eino rashai pator acherim chayavim. So the Mishnah here speaks about baltashchis, right? Kotzeitz nitiosav ein rashai de'over bebaltashchis. That's what Rashi quotes. So it's intriguing to wonder whether Baltashchis could serve as a makar for the Isser L'Hazik. And indeed, the Bach considers this possibility. The Bach, who I think we already noted, was not happy with the literal kashem of the tour. Tour says kashem shasor ligno veligzol mamon chavero kach osor lahazik mamon shalo. Right? We already noted that, at least I suggested, that being the son of the Rush, who in Tosa Rush and Gittin, right, that does quote Gazel, and being incredibly influenced by Rabbi Yonah's Perush on Avos, and just the language itself, the kashem, probably the tour here means to connect Gezel and Mazik. The Prisha, I should add, is interesting, suggests that the Kashem comes to teach only that that there's an Isser of Amanas L'Shalim. Prisha here says that second. Midat Tala Isser Hezek Mamon Chaver Be Isser Gevo Gzela The Lomdom Isser Hezek The Chiyuv The Chsid Gabe Nafsho. That's fascinating. It says, why don't you? Why is the Isser of Mazik derived by the tour from Gneva and Gezela connected to that, why isn't it connected to Chovel? Why did he say Kashem that there's Chovel? David, you think that's a good question? I mean, it's a good question because he asked it. Is there an answer to that question? What do you think? I mean, it's an interesting point. First of all, again, it just highlights things that we've been discussing. Right? The Prisha is saying the more natural connection to Adam HaMazik is not Gneva and Gezela, it's Kabbalah. Okay? I guess for the Rambam, maybe it is, in some respects. Right? Because he put it in the middle of Hilchos Chovel. Yeah? Okay. But what would be a reason not to say it? Yeah, I mean, there's no Kabbalah part, right? It's more mammon than you know, the Kabbalah. We clearly understand that there's an Easter component and that it's very dominant for the same reason we've been discussing, right? If you have to choose, you know, Adam Machovel or Gnevo Gezela, it's an interesting choice, right? In terms of the Gnevo Gezela having a Maisa, a Tzura, you know, that is more specific. You know, and being, you know, about Hotzah, Mirshuso, you know, and in those respects, Kabbalah is closer to Mazik. No question about it. But in terms of being more Mamoni, right, Gneva and Gezela is closer. So that doesn't seem to be such a... anyways, the Prisha, this is also... Doksim b'tor v'hedya, right? Chiyuvei tashlumei arba avos v'zikin, ashar bor, mava hever, niske mamonein, gam nemar... Makabahemi Shalmana, okay. Near the Balomar Diesh Isur, Afilim Rotza Lashalim Hezeko. Kamoshesh Isur, Bignevo Gezela, Lo Signovu, meaning Amanas Lameka. So again, that just brings home some of the things we were discussing. Prisha says that the, you know, he didn't mean it, but it's a way of showing that Mazik Amanas Lashalim is also like Gneva Ugezela. I guess in Kabbalah that's more obvious, but anything having to do with Mammon. It's less obvious. So he just wants you to know that. First of all, he's assuming that it's so, right? In Gezela as well as Gneva, and then in Mazik as well. Not so simple as we discussed. Anyways, the Bach, who didn't like the whole thing, says, here. Klomar, lo tema deleki sura, ela ligno veligzol, de sib bekroi, av lahazik, mamun shalo, Ainbo Isur Mishalim Lo Hezek. Also, you know, what would be the Hava? I mean, why do you need the whole thing? Kashem. Maybe Mazik is not Usur at all. Right? You're finding these formulations, right? If he's Muchan Lishalim, maybe like the Mabit. Eli Isura Nami Ika. But then he says, Eli the Kashali, Halo Afila Mamon Atzmo Iki Isura. He can't even destroy his own money. Kinadan So Perikachovel Hakotzeitz. The Tiosav, Avabishen Rashai, Potor Achirim Chayabim, Pirsh Rashi, Eina Rashai, the Over Bibal Tashkis. Okay, so the Bach seems to be assuming that when you violate, when the Mishnah says that if you destroy your own object, that it's mutter. Right, but if somebody destroys your object, it's asur, like in Kabbalah. He seems to assume that the chavero is also din of baltashkes. So this is an interesting question. Some of the mefarshim picked up on this Bach. They asked the question in a slightly different way. Again, it's fascinating when the Rambam quotes this halacha, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes this halacha. They take it away from the Mishnah. Clearly, they understood that, you know, if a person destroys his own nityosav b'derech hashchasa, that's called baltashchis. But the idea that somebody else destroying your property is baltashchis, you know, is not the case. But the Bach takes the Mishnah literally and understands the Seifa as possibly being connected to the Reisha. So some of the Mefarshim ask against the Bach. It's interesting also that we only find baltashchis derech hashchasa, at least lahalacha, right? You know, like again, you know, nitiyosav or something like that. You know, it's derech hashchasa that's bal tashchis. How can anybody think that destroying somebody else's property is bal tashchis? Again, if you destroy it in a derech hashchasa kind of a way, you know, then that's one thing. Ah. So I always thought that if you look at the Sefer Chinuch and bal tashchis, right, the din of derech hashchasa, the din of derech hashchasa is a per se a requirement in bal tashchis, or it's a din in bal tashchis when you're the bailin, so then you need derech hashchasa. Now, maybe the idea, if this is a proper interpretation, is that being mazik mamon chavercha in whatever way is always derech hashchasa. It's always an act of wanton destruction. It's always gratuitous, and what makes it derech hashchasa is the fact that it's not yours. I mean, it isn't the tsura of derech hashchasa. Because the mechayev of bal tashchis has nothing to do with hefsed mamon. That's what makes it an interesting suggestion by the Bach in reading the Mishnah that way. Right? The mechayev of bal tashchis has to do with waste. That's why it's even a tiyosav. Right? It's a, you know, it's a, an improper way for a person who bears tselem Elokim shouldn't be wasteful, shouldn't be doing things derech hashchasa. Right? It's a disregard for, you know, for the Ribbono Shel Olam's bria, a disrespect for it. It's bad midos for himself. Is it possible that the Iser Mazik is connected to that? That's what the Bach is saying. Bach is saying, there's always bal tashchis. I derech hashchasa, say something what I'm saying, that it's always destructive by virtue of the fact that it isn't yours. Anything you destroy that isn't yours, right, in addition to the mooks, you're going to pay for it. Right, that's what he's talking about. Quid pro quo. The, you can neutralize the financial part, but at the end of the day, it's still destructive. Right? It still diminishes, you know, your appreciation of the bria, or diminishes your own tselem Elokim to behave that way. So the context is important. Maybe derech hashchasa isn't, you know, the tsura of the hashchasa. It's that aspect of it. So that's another possible perspective on nezek. Okay. Having said that, that brings us back to finish off to Geneva and Gezeila. We'll try to finish this tomorrow because, again, I want to start the toldos. So, going back to Rabbeinu Yonah and the tour, you know, for a minute, the idea that nezek, right, is under the rubric of Geneva and Gezeila, or Gezeila. So we had this formulation of Yonah, possibly Tur, Tosa Rush, right? It works in beautifully with the Gemara in Samach Amud Beis, which quotes a Gezel Pasuk, according to the Girsa that it's talking about Mazik. There are many things to recommend, you know, this perspective. We already talked about Rabbi Yonah's idea of Torah Shabbat Pet, this being an example of Torah Shabbat Pet, how fascinating that is. I should also add, by the way, Agav, that if you look at the Parsha Mishpatim, which we still are going to go through, and we talk about the individual Niske Mamons, it's some of the Mepharshim on that Parsha in Mishpatim, you know, talk about Torah Shabbat Peh, and how indispensable it is to the Perush of Torah Shabbat Sav. So I always thought that that was very ironic, but again, very telling, for the same reason that, you know, underlies our whole discussion here. You know, whether there is an Iser when it comes to Mazik, what role it plays, what differentiates maybe the elemental, universal idea of torts, of Dine Nezek, you know, from the Halacha's view of it as a Davar Shebekdusha, as Likiyume Mili Din Zikin. Namely, there are certain psukim in Parshas Mishpatim. Parshas Mishpatim would seemingly be the most accessible, universal part of the entire Torah, right? And Dinei Nezikin even more than any other part. And yet some of the psukim without Torah Shebaal Peh are totally indecipherable. If you want to give an example, you know, of how indispensable Torah Shebaal Peh is to the reading of Torah Shebaksav, Parshas Mishpatim is a great example. You know, people say, oh, the lecture notes, you know, the Ramazan, fine. But why Dafka and Parshas Mishpatim of all things? But some psukim, the psukim about Karen in particular, are just, you know, just indecipherable. Unless you, you know, unless you have a Masorah of what they refer to, what they mean. But that kind of is what Rabbeinu Yonah is addressing, you know, in his comment. Like, why does Avos need to begin with, you know, Moshe Kibbol Torah Misinai, Masorah LeYoshua, Yoshua LeZaken? It's, you know, a lot of it is very common sense. It's morality. You know, a lot of it is universalist. So, like, you know, why do you need a Masorah for that? So Rabbeinu Yonah says, oh, so the Dinei Nezikin would be under the rubric of Gezel, which, as I point out, is fascinating because not everybody holds that way. Where, how does he know that's a Masorah? That's his global understanding of the Masorah. Great. But I think there's another element here which is overlapping, which is fascinating, and that is, of all parshios in the Torah, you can't read Mishpatim and Dinei Nezik and Mishpatim in particular, you know, without a Masorah. The answer is A, to teach you that even the more, even the universal overlapping, you know, dinim are still and also Torah. That's number one. That reminds us again of the Gemara in Masechet Brachos and Abba Ben Aleph, where the Gemara talks about adon din emes, that shechina imayim. And the Gemara says, you know, in Shlosha, you know, Dayanim, Yashvu, Bedin, and they were done, Dinemes. So the Gemara says, Pshita. Right? We talked about this in the beginning of Sanhedrin. So the Gemara says, Mao Desema, right? Shalma Bialmahu, something like that. The Gemara in Vav Amar Aleph. Right? Kamash Malan, anybody have a language? Kamash Malan Torahi, or something like that. And Vav Amar Aleph? In Brachos? No? Computer? Got it? Who has it? Robbie, got it? Louder, louder. Yeah. You might have said Shalom Bialma. The answer is Din. It's Torah. So that same mentality, you know, is why even, you know, the overlapping things and the universalist things, you know, need to be emphasized. But I like to take it a step further to say that there are, if you, again, you know, Haskel V'Yadoa Osi over Rabbeinu Yonah, if you really know the details, right, and what differentiates Din Torah from Dinei Ben Noach, right, not to contradict the first point, but to reinforce it. So what we're really saying is there are also, number one, there are Dinim that we wouldn't know, that aren't universal, right, but what they establish is that even the ones that are elemental and universal and logical, you know, in their, you know, even compelling, you know, in their own right, right, are, have to be looked at, you know, in the totality of Kedushas Yisrael. And they're different. Again, Afalpi Shedineinu Kedineim, or Dineim Kedineinu, it's still, you know, Eila Mishpatim, you know, lifnei below lifnei arkos, and it's still the mishpatim by yidom haluka. So it's dafka mishpatim, and it's dafka dinei nezikin. And part of that story is the fact that nezek comes under the rubric of gezel, namely that it is osur. It's not just, you know, chayiv b'tashlumin, and that some of the aspects of gzela and geneva, right, apply to nezek and vice versa. There are aspects of gzela and geneva, right, which are based on an expanded view of Nezek. That's part of the story. Part of the story, if you hold like Rabbeinu Yonah and all of this. By which I mean that by saying Nezek is Geneva and Gezela, you're for sure underscoring Iser, and you're saying that it isn't just about the money, because Geneva and Gezela have a Tzura, and clearly there's an aspect about attacking bailus and the tsura again of hotsam reshusa bailim by yizgal achanis biyad mitzvah, the trauma of that, or even more so beseser, what it implies about your relationship with the Rabbonu Shalom and everything else. So apparently some aspect of that, not fully maybe, you know, applies in Dinei Nezek too. It isn't Valtashkis maybe, you know, Kilkul Tsuras, you know, Tzalem Elokim or whatever it is, but there's something like that, maybe. Right? There's also the implication that Geneva and Gezela, even when it's on a Be'en, that's, instead of only looking at, once you fuse the Parshios in some respect, it's possible that it's not that just that Nezek, by taking away his, temporarily taking away his money, right, is has one aspect of Gezel. And maybe even more so, that Geneva or Gzela or Mochiach, that the act of Nezek is also an attack on him, right, and it's something that diminishes you as well. But it's also possible, you have to be careful about it, I'm not just throwing it out, you have to prove it, it's also possible that Geneva Ugezela incorporate or include elements of Mazik. Namely, that we look at the act of Geneva Ugezela, even when the Be'en is intact, taking away somebody's money is also, you know, a Nezek. That's also Mechudash. Just like Nezek being Gezel is Mechudash in some way, right? Gezel being Nezek is Mechudash. Because the Be'en is there, it's pristine, until it's not. Right? So it's interesting that we find both of these phenomena, right, in the halacha. Right. I have to stop, I see, because we've got mincha. So let's just finish with, I want to talk about a little bit Tavar Vishasya, the Ksos and Asivas, the Ktosis and Sanhedrin. If you look at the Raman Sanhedrin, that's important. Balamor and Ramban there. And the Rav Chaims that I mentioned, very quickly, because I don't want to spend too much time on it, but just to finish up with that part of the Hakdama. I also want to talk for a minute or two, and then we're going to start about Toldos, but just to note, Perakei Hilchos Niske Mamon, Alacha Aleph, is followed by, in the Rambam, some interesting things, right? Some Drabanans, but about, you know, being Megadel, the Hemadaka. Like, what's that doing there? I want to talk about that for a second. And is that Maka and Losasim Damin Beveisacho? So that's will be to finish up, and then we're going to move on to the Shalkim Tari of the Gemara, Toldos of Nezikin, Toldos of Shabbos, Toldos of Taharos.